Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We meet at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga at 9 a.m. on Sundays. If you can't make it 9 a.m. in person, you could always join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. The website is www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Our prayer and our hope is that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We're in the Beatitudes this week. Last week, we looked at one of the first Beatitudes. Now we're going to look at Happy Are the Sad. If you have your Bibles, grab your Bible. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 4, and Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Before we go to God's Word, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we just come to you today and we ask that your Holy Spirit would fill us with your hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. May our ears be open to hear the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty for the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall rise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. Now turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 12. We're in the Beatitudes. We're going to be in the Beatitudes for a little while. Listen for God's word. This is Jesus speaking these words. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Well, today we're going to look at the second of the eight Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The Beatitudes are found in the beginning of Jesus' most famous teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. It's found in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Last week, I encouraged you to take some time and just read through those chapters. Read through chapter 5, read through chapter 6, and read through chapter 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. As you read these chapters, pray for the Holy Spirit to teach you, to comfort you, and challenge you to grow deeper in the Lord's grace and truth. In fact, I would encourage you to read out loud. It says, "Faith comes by hearing the word. take some time each day to read a section of this great sermon and read it out loud, and then ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. He is the greatest teacher. In this Gospel of Matthew, Jesus began his earthly ministry directly after his wilderness temptation. He selected his disciples and preached his opening sermon or his opening message. The Sermon on the Mount is what it's called. However, if we read the Gospel of Dr. Luke, the good doctor, we find that Jesus began his ministry after his wilderness trials by returning to his hometown of Nazareth. And while Jesus was in Nazareth, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and read from the prophet Isaiah the very same words we just read a little bit ago, Isaiah 61. It's a good day to put yourself in the story. I always say, put yourself in the story and put the story in you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What is the Lord's favor? To comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. What a powerful, powerful, powerful statement the prophet Isaiah gives us about mourning and comfort. Here in Jesus' first real message, he gives us the same statement. We are blessed when we are sad. Wow. Now, is that a contradiction? We are blessed when we mourn. We are blessed when we are sad, for we will be comforted. Eugene Peterson, a wonderful scholar and Bible teacher and pastor, wrote the Message Bible, and this is how he translated it. You are blessed when you feel you've got lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. Let me read it again. You are blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. If Jesus would have said, blessed are the happy, I would say, woohoo, yes, hallelujah. I'm happy to be alive, happy to be a Christian, happy in my marriage, happy I get a chance to do all the things I want to do. But never once does Jesus say, blessed are the happy. In fact, he says just the opposite. Happy are the sad. When I read the Beatitudes, there's a part of me that wants to stop and say, time out. What do you mean? Blessed are those who mourn. Happy are the sad. In our world today, there's a cultural acceptance that the way to happiness is having everything go your way. The world we live in tells us that pleasure brings happiness, and everything along with it goes with it. The world we live in tells us that pleasure brings us happiness. Money brings us happiness. Entertainment brings us happiness. Fame and fortune brings us happiness. Praise brings us happiness. Self-expression brings us happiness. On the flip side of that principle, avoiding pain, trouble, disappointments, frustration, hardships, and other problems, well, they'll also bring us happiness. Throughout history, a basic axiom of the world has been that favorable things brings happiness, and unfavorable things brings unhappiness. Yet Jesus is now teaching, happy are the sad. Wow. We're going to look at that for a few minutes today. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We will look at the idea of biblical mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning, or biblical grieving, or biblical sadness. And we'll look at what it means to be comforted. We'll try to understand the blessedness of mourning and the blessedness of comfort. The Greek word that Matthew uses for mourn is pentheo, P-E-N-T-H-E-O, pentheo, the strongest word for mourning in the whole Greek language. It is the word used for mourning of the dead, or for a passionate lament for the one who has lost a love. There are several ways that we can take this passage. In William Barclay's commentary, he says, "Blessed is the one who has endured the bitterest sorrow that life can bring." The Arabs had a proverb, "All sunshine makes a desert." Many of us grieve more than once in our life. Perhaps you have grieved over the death of a parent, a grandparent, a child, a brother or sister, a soulmate, a friend. Some of us have grieved over the loss of a job we loved, or the loss of a marriage, or the loss of personal rejection, the loss of our possessions, or the loss of our health. Many grieve the loss of their homes and family in earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and wildfires. In all these things, the good news is that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Let me say that again. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty for the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In Psalm 30, King David dedicated the temple by saying, "Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Psalm 30, verses 5, 11, and 12. Our mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, our mourning, our grieving may linger for a night, but joy comes in the morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, the morning. What a wonderful promise that the Lord will turn our mourning into dancing. Psalm 30 is a promise we can stand on. When we are mourning or grieving, this is one of those promises to write out and repeat often. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to pray for you. If you have a prayer concern, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayer. We'll pray for you. You can send me an email at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. We want to pray for you. If you need a Bible, I'll mail you a Bible so you can have God's Word. Jesus is going to turn our grieving, our mourning, into dancing. What Jesus is trying to teach the disciples here on the mountaintop is that when we are poor in spirit, when we are spiritually bankrupt, we will realize that we are truly broken. And when we realize that we are truly broken, then we will be truly blessed. G.K. Chesterton, an English critic and author, once asked this question, "What is wrong with the world?" And Chesterton quickly answered, "I am." This is the heart and soul of the Second Beatitude. Listen to how the Heidelberg Catechism expresses comfort. The catechism is a question and answer. So the question is, what is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer is that I am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Question: what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? The answer, three things. First, how great my sin and misery are. Second, how I am set free from all my sin and misery. And third, how I am thankful to God for such deliverance. What Jesus is teaching us in the first two Beatitudes is that spiritual poverty will lead to godly sorrow, and the poor in spirit become those who mourn or grieve. Yet, yes, Jesus is teaching us that to grow in grace, we need to grow in our awareness of our own sin and the misery of that sin. If Chesterton is right, and we are what is wrong with this world, then Jesus is right when he quotes the prophet Isaiah. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the prisoners free, to give sight to the blind and liberty to the captives. Do you see it? Jesus will teach us how to be blessed in our brokenness. Are you brokenhearted today? Are you trapped in a dungeon of despair? Have the crisis and the calamities of life wrapped you up and held you captive? Are you overwhelmed? Are you oppressed? Are you overcome with doubts, fears, and worries? Hear the good news. Blessed are those who mourn. Happy are the sad, for they will be comforted. The Greek word that he uses for comfort is parakleo. Ah, what a great word, parakleo. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-O. Do you recognize this word? It is a compound word in the Greek made up of two different words, para, meaning near or alongside, and kaleo, meaning I call. Yes, parakaleo is the same word used for the Holy Spirit, called the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Helper. The Holy Spirit is the one who is called alongside us to comfort us and to help us grow in God's love. What Jesus is teaching in this second beatitude is that God will come alongside us, walk with us, and comfort us in our sorrow. God will deliver us from sin. We are told in Isaiah that we will be comforted by God, and we will be given a garland of praise instead of ashes. We will be given the oil of gladness. Right after I became a Christian, my wife signed us up for a small group in our church. Back then, they were called growth groups. I remember the second week we were in that group. We were studying 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 7. Let me read it to you. Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Our fearless leader, his name was Doug, read the passage to the group, and he started working the room, asking each person if they would like to share. He finally came to me and asked me if I wanted to share on how God has comforted me and how I could comfort others. I sat there and flatly said, no. Little did I know that God had such a great sense of humor. God called me to experience the true spiritual poverty in my life that led me to a godly sorrow for my sins. This awareness of my own spiritual bankruptcy is what released me from my spiritual captivity. I went home that night angry. My wife said, Dave, I think you might need to pray about this verse. Maybe through the death of your brother, God has helped you to understand true sorrow so that you can understand others when they mourn. I still talk with that leader of that small group, and we laugh over God's sense of humor. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort led me out of my darkness so I could learn how to comfort others. A pastor's ministry is framed by grief and comfort. So what? Let's try to wrap this up and bring it home. What does Jesus mean when he tells us, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted? I had the honor just recently to do a funeral for a woman. Her name was Mary. Mary was a wonderful saint. She was a special lady. Mary died a few weeks ago, and we held her memorial in the home of the family. And we went to, for the burial, we went to Newport Beach for her committal service. And years ago, we did the very same trip for Mary's husband. when they were little, the children, Bob and Sharon, spent every summer at Newport Beach. When their dad died, he asked to have his ashes buried at sea. About 50 family members and friends gathered on a small yacht, and we headed through the harbor of the sea. We drove right past the spot where Mary and Dudley spent their summers for many years. I can identify because we always used to bring our kids to the Lake of the Ozarks in southern Missouri. When we arrived at that place out in the Pacific, the captain signaled that it was time for the committal. I gathered all the family and friends on the rear deck. We began by singing "How Great Thou Art," and we closed with "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone." And as we were singing, I looked around the deck and saw there before me the comfort of the Holy Spirit who came alongside all those who were mourning. When I was ordained, the song I chose for the closing of my ordination service was "How Great Thou Art." During those lean, mean seminary years, I saw how great God was. During those 3 years, my church and my community wrapped their love around myself and my family. They came and walked alongside us. When I could not see the next meal or how to provide for my family, God nudged them and they provided. During those 3 years of seminary, God provided over $50,000 worth of provisions. We were like the thrift store. People dropped off groceries on our doorsteps. The mail delivered manna almost daily. I don't think we ever went a week without opening an envelope with money inside. We called it manna. Day by day we walked, and day by day God provided. That's what I learned in seminary, to trust how great God is. In those dark and lonely days, God walked alongside me. Friends, there's nothing like living on $21,000 with a family of five. I knew God had called me, and I had to trust that God would care for me and my family. As we closed out the committal service, there were about 50 people on the yacht singing about how great our God was. God sent His only Son to die for our sins. Our chains are gone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace. Our so what? For today is for us to put ourselves in the story. If you have the time, I would invite you to take some time and just read out loud Matthew chapter 5. If nothing else, read out loud Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Put yourself in the story. Even right here, right now, Jesus is sitting among us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. There's something about this that can comfort our heart like nothing else. The first two Beatitudes, blessed are you when you know that you are empty and need God to fill you up. Blessed are you when life is hard, when you grieve, when you experience loss, because God promises to come alongside, parakleo you. God promises to walk alongside you and comfort you. In closing, when someone is really struggling with grief and sorrow, I always tell them to surround themselves with Christian music, turn on the radio in the car, listen to a good Christian station, play Christian CDs, ask your worship leader for a flash drive if you have a worship. I love integrity music, Hosanna music, songs of scripture set to music. Jesus really will give you the oil of gladness as you listen and sing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, is what Jesus said, because He's anointed me. He has sent me to bring the good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what Jesus has come. Say it with me. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for Your word today. Help us to walk with You and know that Your grace is sufficient. Amen. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.